Hi, I'm Julie Zeglin, managing editor of Technically, a new site that covers local economies and change. And this is Technically On the Record, our new interview series in which I'll do a deep dive into one of our market's biggest stories of the week. It's a chance for us to look into our reporters' virtual notebooks and hear lessons from the tech communities of Philly, Baltimore, DC, Delaware, and Pittsburgh. And today I have with me Dante Kirby, who is a reporter for Technically Baltimore and one of our Report for America fellows for this year. So welcome, Dante.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for.
Yeah, thank you for joining.
Record.
Yeah. and thanks for being a part of Technically. So you're only about 3 months into your role in Baltimore. So can you start by sharing a bit about what your beat is and what you've been covering the last couple months?
So my beat is digital equity. Specifically, it's like digital equity in Baltimore's Black Butterfly. And for those who never really don't really know much about Baltimore, the term Black Butterfly is like, so there was a study done on like racial inequity along like financial investment lines in Baltimore, and the graph sort of looked like a butterfly, and it was Baltimore's Black neighborhoods. And like anything in this conversation about inequity, all these things are interconnected, so that financial inequity in terms of like investment from banks and just like property values, like also has that same effect along digital lines. So in terms of like in these same communities that are disenfranchised financially, there's also like a lack of internet connectivity, and like these homes don't have broadband internet, or like they might not have a laptop or a desktop computer in their home. Like the only thing they're using to connect to the internet may be their phone, if they're using that. And the city at large, about 40% of households don't have internet connectivity or don't have a laptop in their home in some way. So yeah, a lot of the conversation of how do you bridge that gap.
And of course, now that we are in a pandemic, when people are more tied to their homes than ever, and students are learning virtually, that of course has become even more of an issue. So what are some different stakeholders doing to try to like mitigate this issue? Like what is the city doing, different community groups, things like that?
So you have the libraries who are expanding their Wi-Fi hotspots. You have organizations like PCs for People, which are like trying to get devices out there to people. Basically every community stakeholder that you can think of has like pivoted. Like even the Boys and Girls Club has like, okay, how do we provide services to our members? And they call their members the kids who go to the Boys and Girls Club every day in their after school programs. And they're doing the same thing that you see at schools, the same thing that you see at not-for-profits, the same thing that you see even from like your government. They're giving out devices. They're either trying to give people Wi-Fi hotspots, they're either trying to expand the Wi-Fi in their building so that the surrounding community can get the internet connection that they need to like to have their kids go to summer school, to have their kids be able to do online learning come the fall.
Yeah, and this is surely something that has been, you know, addressed in Baltimore before, but as I mentioned, it's more urgent than ever, perhaps. Is Baltimore looking to, like, is the city government, for instance, looking at any other cities for guidance on this, like anyone who's doing this well, or any specific policies that are coming up?
So they recently had a meeting or a committee with Youth and Education talking about internet connectivity and like the digital divide and like how they're going to get internet to the students who don't have it or don't have access to it. So a lot of the things they want to do is similar to like what Philly has, like their digital equity plan, and like or Atlanta has done something similar where like they've like provided free internet to like a surrounding community for an extended amount of time. So they're piloting programs where like there's like a mesh program with Project Waves, which is a not-for-profit, and like they're trying to like provide free internet for a community for like the next 2 years. are like they want to do stuff like Philadelphia has, where like you can go to certain parks and like there's free Wi-Fi and like Xfinity like sort of spread throughout the city, and like there's certain online kiosks you can go to, or like the free libraries in Philadelphia, like all of them have free internet that you can use. So right now what Baltimore has is the Internet Essentials package from Comcast, and that like for like $20 you can get broadband internet. And for some that's working, for a lot they're having internet connectivity issues where like it's not the download and upload speeds, and most laymen don't really think about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like the difference between your YouTube or Netflix stream being smooth and that movie is playing like at what you expected to play at, or it being choppy and like it's skipping through, or you having to like, and we've all had those, or maybe we have to remember it back in the day where like you had to wait, like it took 5 minutes to watch a 1 minute video.
Right.
So a lot of people are having to live with that experience. And if you're doing online a conversation like this and it has 100 kids in the house or 100 kids looking at the teacher and like you're going in and out, like how can you learn in that environment?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to be able to watch, to participate in, yeah, just like the daily lessons that they have to do at home now. So
yeah.
That is interesting. Yeah, in Philly, that Internet Essentials program has been extended to households with students in need for up to 2 years of free access, I believe. It's something that we've worked on.
The access isn't free. So it's like you get that 2 months free.
Yeah.
They got the 2 months for the when that first started for summer school. And now that we're in September, it's becoming you got to pay that $10 or $20. And like people even can't afford that. So
it'll be interesting to see if that program expands in Baltimore like it has in Philly.
So that's what the conversation was about. They're hoping, like they're trying to figure out like what do they have to do to get that. And unfortunately, Comcast is committal, but non-committal. Like they're like, the committees is how we get to this conversation, how we get to the point that Philadelphia is. Like you'd hope they'd be like, yes, it'll happen tomorrow, but that's not the way bureaucracy in the world works.
Yeah.
So like somebody has to pay somewhere.
Right. TBD for now then.
Yeah.
So you're actually from Philadelphia. You're new to Baltimore and you moved there right as the pandemic was getting going. So I'm curious what it's been like for you as a reporter, both as just a person who's moving to a new place, how you're getting to know this new city, but also as a reporter, how you're getting to know this new beat and this new community that you're tasked with reporting on.
So as a reporter, I feel like the process is pretty much the same. Like one story leads to another story. Like as you do stories, you see the same faces over and over. You hear the same faces talked about over and over, and you sort of like the beat builds out from the story, and you become like more adept at what's going on as you do the work. I don't feel like that's changed much outside of like, if I was seeing somebody in person, that connection might happen quicker than it would happen otherwise. If I saw somebody in person, like I would notice that they are repeatedly showing up in stories faster than I would otherwise. Like I'd notice if I went to a Hack Baltimore event and I went to a Fearless event, I know it's like, oh, that CEO here is the same person who runs this company. Like I recognize that by face, but sometimes when it's over the phone, like you don't quite realize that you're hearing the same voice over and over. You don't quite realize that that name is connected to this organization and that name is also connected to that organization.
Yeah.
So that's probably like one of the things that like has made it not more difficult, but like one of those things you don't notice until it's gone, of like the ability to put two and two together. But overall, I feel like it's the same. I feel like journalism and doing this work as a whole, like, although it's nice to see somebody in person and like talk to them, and we can, like we're seeing each other right now, it's not entirely necessary for me to physically be in the same place as a person for maybe like 70% of the stories, unless like it's essential for the story for me to be there. Like it might, if I'm gonna cover a protest, I should probably be at that protest.
Yeah.
If I'm covering an event, maybe I should be at the event, but it depends on like how am I framing the story. Is it about the event or is the story about like what the event represents?
Mm.
So I might not necessarily have to physically be there.
Yeah, and as a new resident of Baltimore, have you gotten out to explore it all?
Yeah, I can like walk. I can like, because I mean, you can
you're be allowed out of your house
going though. Through the city.
Yeah,
I might not have gone like the crazy amount of distances I would have went otherwise. But some of that is just a function of like, oh, I don't have a bike, so I haven't been able to like travel and learn the city that way. How I would have learned it, and how I learned most of Philadelphia. So it's just like when you don't have a reason to leave the house, you don't necessarily see the areas that aren't in a 4 to 5 mile radius, but you can get to know those 4 to 5 mile radius pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dante Kirby, thank you for joining and thank you for being part of the Technically Baltimore team.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. This has been Technically on the Record. I'm Julie Zeglin. Thanks for watching.